Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Now let's get back to the story I was telling you last time. You might remember that we met Chris. His wife is Sarah. About 10 years ago, Chris and Sarah were not exactly happily married, but they were living as husband and wife in the same house. Still young, they did not have any children. Both Chris and Sarah were living a high-flying lifestyle. They both had very good jobs, one an investment banker and the other a business consultant. They lived in the city, enjoying good food, good friends, good times, and good travel. Both traveled extensively, even internationally for work, but managed to meet up in different places all around the globe for action and adventure holidays. For example, one thing they loved to do was jump out of airplanes. Their employers paid them a ton of money to do what they did, and this husband and wife used it to fuel their lifestyle. Chris was, in his own words, a total pagan, completely unaware of and disinterested in God. Sarah had grown up in the church. Her parents were nominal Christians. But as a college student, she tired of anything that smelled of restrictions on her hard partying, sex, and at times drug and alcohol-fueled university experience. She was a good student and adapted quickly to the study hard, party hard mentality of the young, beautiful, independent woman. Needless to say, Chris and Sarah's marriage was two people living together who had no interest in loving, serving, following, and obeying Jesus. Until something remarkable happened in one of their lives. It was Chris. It started at work. To make a long story short, a partner in his consultancy firm ran hard into serious legal trouble. This spun out of control with negative implications for the company, and Chris shockingly lost his job. Not only that, but he had a very hard time finding another one. His search for employment went on and on, month after month, nothing. Bills still had to be paid. Tension mounted with Sarah, who was still working, traveling, and making good money in investment banking, so at least they had that. But she started to resent his inability to find work. Chris's whole identity was wrapped up in his previous job. No more fancy dinners and drinks with clients, no more first-class air travel and nights in swanky hotels, no membership at their local country club. He lost many friends, and Chris slipped into a dark place, winding up depressed, certified depressed by a psychologist. Amidst these life-altering experiences, Chris remembered a guy he had kept at arm's length at the consulting company, a man who had also lost his job. But this gentleman was different. Even his whole attitude to what went down at the firm was a marked difference from Chris's. Tim was Mr. Positive and also religious. That's why Chris had kept a certain distance from him when they worked together. But feeling really low one morning, Chris decided to call Tim. Maybe Tim could give him a lead on a job. And making a still longer story shorter, Chris and Tim started to spend time together during the day while their wives worked. Chris quickly observed that Tim was not depressed. In fact, just the opposite. Tim had hope, energy, always a smile, a laugh, and an encouraging word. Chris saw something in Tim that he wanted. He began to covet. He yearned to possess what Tim had. And so, as their friendship evolved over time, Tim told Chris the secret: Jesus Christ. In the weeks and then months these two men spent together, Tim guided Chris gently and graciously to know Christ as Lord. Chris joined Tim's church and became a part of a group of other men meeting Saturday mornings to talk about how the Bible related to real-life problems they all faced. It was there Chris put his full faith and trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of all his many sins, and the pastor baptized Chris one summer Sunday afternoon. Well, as so often happily happens, Chris's life was radically changed. He became like a new man. It was just as Jesus said, he was born again. He had new life in Christ. His depression began to lift. He changed how he lived and learned new ways to approach thinking about his search for a new job. And of course, Chris couldn't wait to tell Sarah all about this, knowing that if she too would believe in Jesus, her life would also be radically, wonderfully changed. So how did Sarah react to her husband's conversion to Christ? The answer is not well, not very well at all. At first, she humored Chris by trying to listen to all he had to say about this big change in his life. It seemed like every night after she came home from a long day at work, all he wanted to talk about was how wonderful he felt, how much he valued Tim and the other guys at this church he was suddenly going to. After a few weeks of this, Sarah got fed up. She refused to go to church with him on Sundays, and she resented how being a Christian had totally changed her husband. She missed the fun they used to have on the weekends, time now taken by God. Sarah told Chris, "I didn't agree to this when I married you. You know I hate how restrictive Christianity is. I grew up with this, and had I known you were going to do this, I never would have married you in the first place. You have changed a lot, Chris, and I do not like it." Chris tried very hard to persuade Sarah. He was given good advice by his church. Love Sarah. Serve her. Be patient. Be kind. Pray for her. Commit her life also to God in prayer. But as time went on, Sarah withdrew more and more from Chris. She was just not interested in, as she put it, all this religious expletive used. And then one day she asked Chris to be ready to meet her when she got home, and out of her mouth proceeded crushing, unexpected words. Sarah was leaving Chris. Over the course of several days, Chris tried to talk her out of it. As a new Christian, he had an immediate crisis to face. He knew that he could never go back to his old lifestyle. He knew that Jesus had redeemed him from his sin and quickly, radically changed his life. But Chris wanted to very much remain married to Sarah. He loved her. So he did everything he thought he could do without compromising his new love for Jesus. Chris made serious effort to reconcile Sarah's feelings with his own conviction. He wanted to remain married. The very thought of divorce terrified him. In the end, Sarah left the marriage. Sarah moved out of state. She then moved for divorce. Abandoned, what was Chris to do? His faith in Christ had definitely caused his spouse to leave him. Well, this real-life story brings us to this, our second question about marriage. I'll remind you what the question is, and we'll find the answer in the Bible and apply it to our friend Chris. What about when someone gets married before they become a Christian, but their conversion radically changes how they behave in marriage, and their spouse does not convert and leaves the marriage? What can the abandoned Christian spouse do? Can he or she remarry a Christian? How does the expectation for a one-lifetime marriage apply in this case? If you're able to do so, open your Bible and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. That's 1 Corinthians 7. As we go about finding our answer, here's what we are going to do beginning today. I have seven insights I want to draw out of this seventh chapter, 1 Corinthians. We'll take these one at a time as we move down through the text. I'll give you the point and then show you where I am getting this from the Bible. By the time we finish, we'll have our answer. Are you ready? First insight. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus spoke to the Jews about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul wrote his letter in a largely Gentile context, also about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Later, we will be looking in detail at what Jesus says in Matthew 19. We'll use that passage to answer our third, the next question. But for now, all you need to know is that Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul will stress the same truth regarding God's view of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Jesus spoke this truth to the Jews, and Paul spoke this truth to the Gentiles. Different audiences, but the same truth. And both Jesus and Paul spoke this truth into cultures where divorce and remarriage was rampant. If you think divorce and remarrying is only a new reality, then you do not know that both Jewish culture at the time of Jesus and Greco-Roman culture at the time of St. Paul were very similar to what we have now. Divorce was easy. Divorce for any reason was common and practiced at will. So that what Jesus and Paul say had necessary application then as now. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage are as old as the Bible. That is, we have always had it with us, and sadly, we always will, until the end of this world and marriage. If you will read Matthew 19, verses 1 through 11, and 1 Corinthians 7, verses 1 through 16, you will see with your own eyes that what Jesus says and what Paul says matches. That is because God's truth is always and forever the same truth. Whatever the culture, whatever the time, and whatever the place. So that what the Gospel of Matthew and 1 Corinthians records is for us also. These passages were not originally written to us, but they have been written for us. Matthew 19, 1 through 11. And 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 16. Please, I encourage you, get out your copy of God's Word and read them. This is our first insight. Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul will stress the same truth regarding God's view of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. So what is that truth? Well, we'll find out when you come back and join us again tomorrow, right here, as together we continue to discover who we are in light of who God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.